turn this morning to a familiar passage, one which we read quite frequently, particularly as we come around the communion table, and that's Isaiah 53. And I believe it was touched on last week, but there's a verse in this chapter which we don't often read. Generally we read, when we quote from this chapter, we read verses 4, 5 and 6. But I want to read this morning the first 6 verses and then just pick up on a thought that is mentioned in one of the early verses. And it says here, it says Isaiah 53 verse 1, it says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now that's the familiar passage that we read frequently. But in verse 2 of this chapter, we read these words. It's the last phrase of verse 2, which says, "There is no beauty that we should desire him." There is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, when you think about the cross, we give thanks to God that Jesus died for us. You know, we very often pray, perhaps sometimes, the words just trip off our tongue too easily and say that, he bore such agony and he went through so much. And we talk about the stripes and we talk about the crown of thorns. But this scripture here says there is no beauty that we should desire him. There was nothing about the cross that was beautiful. You know, I want to go through this morning just these first few verses and just think about that thought. There's no beauty that we should desire him. There are a number of words found in these verses which backs up that statement. There is no beauty that we should desire him. And the first one of those is found in verse 2. And it says here in the middle of the verse, it says, "He has no form." He has no form. You know, this word literally talks about a stately form, a stately position. An image, a likeness, or a representation. That's what it actually means. An image, a likeness, or a representation. He has no stately form. The King of Kings was not robed in royal robes or with splendor. In actual fact, it was quite the opposite. The scripture tells us in Philippians that he says he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant. He came in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. You know, the King of Kings left the royal palaces. He left the splendor of heaven. And he came. He had no form. Even his ministry that he'd walked in and operated in for 3.5 years was all forgotten. We know that to be true because on the Palm Sundays he rode into Jerusalem. You know, they were shouting, you know, welcome to the King of Kings, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were praising and getting excited. It weren't just a few days later where they were shouting out, hurling abuse, you know, crying out to Pilate, says, we have no king but Caesar. Another thing they shouted out was, crucify him. You know, all that he'd done, those that he touched, lives that were changed, those that were healed, those that were restored to life, you know, those that were forgiven, those that Jesus ministered to, those that he reached out in compassion to. Everything he'd done was forgotten. He had no stately form. He had no reputation. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. But then it goes on in that verse and it says this, neither does he have no comeliness. He has no form or comeliness. You know, the word comeliness means to be pleasing to the eye. Particularly when it's talking about a person. It means that to be attractive, yet although not necessarily beautiful. You know, he has no comeliness. There's nothing about him that is pleasing to the eye. You know, we often, as I said earlier, you know, we often think about the crown of thorns, the blood running down his face, and, you know, the stripes upon him that he bore. Well, even in the previous chapter here, in 52, verse 14, it tells us that many were astonished at him. His visage, it says here in verse 14, Isaiah 52:14, his visage was marred more than any man. His visage, his appearance, his looks was marred beyond, and his form more than the sons of men. There was nothing pleasing to the eye when you looked at Jesus on the cross. And as we go through these words this morning, you'll see that things that we touch on quite frequently from verse 3 and verse 4. You know, as the sins of the world were laid upon Jesus, you know, his appearance began to change. Apart from the fact he'd been whipped and beaten and scourged, and, you know, no doubt all that beating would have bruised him and cut him, and he would have been covered in blood. There was nothing about his actual appearance. You know, that's just surface appearance. But there was nothing about his physical place that would have changed under the burden of sin. As all the sickness was laid upon him, you know, it would have twisted his body. There certainly is no beauty that we should desire him. Nothing pleasing to the eye. In verse 3 it says he was a man of sorrows. You know, sorrow is to bring grief or pain. You know, the word there literally means, as we're often told, literally means pains. A man of pains. You know, a man that was acquainted with pain. Acquainted with sorrow and grief. You know, that takes its toll upon a person. That causes physical changes to take place. You can tell when someone's really sorrowful. You know, they have that downward face. You know, that you know, heaviness upon them. And there certainly is no beauty there that we should desire him. You know, every pain is put upon his body. You know what it's like when you get a pain in, whether it's a pain through sickness or a pain because you hit yourself with a hammer or stubbed yourself on something, or you know, slipped as you're cutting something in the kitchen and slip and the knife goes into your hand or something. You know those sorts of pains that you get. You know, they make you wince and they make you cringe. And, you know, that causes your face to be screwed up. You know, oh. You can imagine that's just what Jesus was going through. You know, the pain, not just the physical pain, but the pain of sin as that was laid upon him. You know, there's no beauty there that we should desire him. In verse 3 he goes on and says, he's a man of sorrows and he's acquainted with grief. Now this word grief here isn't sorrow grief, you know, that comes under the man of sorrows. But the word here, grief, literally means physical pain or discomfort. A physical injury or illness. You know, in the Hebrew word there, that's been translated, grief means literally sickness, or sicknesses and diseases. A man that was known, or he knew what it was to suffer sickness. Not that he was sick himself, but every sickness and every disease was laid upon him. You know, sickness itself causes abnormalities in the body. Things like arthritis causes the joints and fingers and things to cripple up. Other diseases cause physical changes to the body. And Jesus was a man that was acquainted with that. You know, that was laid upon him. And his body would have been twisted and gnarled with pain through sickness. And there certainly is nothing about sickness that's beautiful. You know, you go into a doctor's surgery or a hospital. You know, you can see people that are wracked in pains, got sickness upon their body. You know, physical changes about that person. There's nothing beautiful about sickness. And there certainly is no beauty in Christ that we should desire him as we see him laid on the cross. Verse 4 says that he was stricken. Yet we esteemed that he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Just to carry on the previous thought. It says, yet we esteemed him stricken. You know, the Hebrew words there mean to be afflicted with grief or despair. To show great distress. You know, on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? A man stricken. A man afflicted with grief, a man in despair, a man in great distress. You know, his father could turn his back on him at that moment. You know, stricken. You know, that causes a change. You know, when you're in great distress, that causes your physical body to be changed. And there certainly is nothing about distress or despair that is certainly beautiful. You know, there is no beauty, as verse 2 says, that we should desire him. Then it says he was smitten of God and afflicted. You know, in biblical use, that means to be blemished, to be, well actually the word to smite is to strike or to kill, or to cause some punishment or affliction to come upon a person or a thing. You know, to be blemished. Blemishes certainly aren't attractive, they aren't beautiful. And what was he smitten with? What was he afflicted with? Well, he was afflicted with sin. Verse 6 says that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows. He took our iniquities, our sins, smitten by God. Then it goes on, it says in verse 5, you know, one of these verses we read, and we should probably know it off by heart, but it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. A wound is an injury to a body, to body tissue. It's caused either by a cut, a blow, a hard or sharp impact. And especially, a wound is one in which the skin is cut or broken. It's normally an external injury. Don't talk about wounds internally. A wound is something external. You know, Jesus was wounded. Yes, he took the stripes which cut into his back, the crown of thorns which pierced his brow. In John 19, verse 34, we read that one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, so that blood and water flowed. You know, he was pierced through. I believe it's Psalm 22 that says about him being pierced through. In Psalm 22 verse 16 it says, dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones, they look and stare at me, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Talking about Jesus on the cross. He was wounded, he was scourged, and there's certainly nothing beautiful about that. You know, last Sunday I was at home, sustained an injury, a wound. There was lots of blood, still got the scar on the back of my hand to prove it. And it certainly didn't look beautiful, it didn't look nice. It still doesn't look nice. It looks a lot better than it did. You know, there's nothing beautiful about a wound or an injury. And there certainly is no beauty that we should desire him when we look at Jesus. Then finally in verse 5 it says this, he was bruised for our iniquities. We all know what a bruise is. It's an injury or damage caused by a heavy blow or by a weight. The word bruise literally means to crush. Now the scripture here says, he was bruised, and in my Bible it's got a little note there saying, he was crushed for our iniquities. What was it that crushed him? It was the weight of the sin of the world upon him. You know, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2. He said that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He himself bore our sins. He carried the weight. He carried the burden. He took it all. You know, the weight of that bruised him, crushed him. And there certainly is nothing beautiful about a bruise. You know, the black, that black and blue hair, or yellow, depending on what stage it's at, damage isn't beautiful at all. You know, just looking at these few verses this morning, just if I pick out these half a dozen or so words, that his form, he has no form, he has no comeliness. A man of sorrows, a man that's acquainted with grief, man that was stricken, smitten, wounded, and bruised. There is no beauty there that we should desire him. And yet, when we look at Christ, we look at Jesus, we say he is the altogether lovely one. You know, he is beyond compare. There's none like him. You know, he's likened in the scriptures to the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He's compared to the bright and morning star. But certainly when we look at the cross, there's nothing beautiful there. And yet it goes on in this chapter, we didn't read it, but it goes on, it says, yet it pleased God the Father to bruise him. It pleased God to do that. Not because he's some type of abuser or anything like that, but he knew what would be accomplished. He knew what was going to be achieved. You know, this morning we can rejoice, we can give thanks to God that Jesus was willing and prepared to go through that suffering. He was prepared to lay aside his reputation, his representation, his stately form. He was prepared to have his ministry forgotten. His visage to be marred above any man, so that he was unrecognizable. He was willing to bear the grief and pain and sorrow. To take the discomfort caused by physical injury or illness and sickness. To be afflicted with despair and distress. To be afflicted and blemished with sin. To be wounded in his body. And to be bruised by sin. He went through all that just for us. And that's beautiful. That is beautiful. You know, so this, as we close this morning, just keep those thoughts in our hearts. You know, often when I'm reading that through, even sometimes in a service like this, as we're taking communion, if we read it from the beginning, you know that phrase, there is no beauty that we should desire him, you know, I very often ponder, even just for a second, you know, there's nothing about him that was beautiful. Nothing about the cross. Except that it shows us what Jesus has done for us. When we look at his love, we look at him in that life, then that certainly is beautiful. So let's give thanks this morning for the cross. Father, just thank you this morning for this word to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as we look at that portrayal, Lord, of you on the cross, Lord, as Isaiah saw it, Lord, we can't begin to imagine this morning, Lord, that picture that Isaiah had of you. Lord, but he starts off in that prophetic utterance, Lord, saying that there was nothing about that image he saw that was beautiful. There's nothing about that image that would cause us to desire or want to be associated with. Lord, as he began to describe, Lord, the scene, Lord, of the Christ on the cross, being wounded and bruised and afflicted. Lord, as we look today, Lord, we see great beauty. Lord, because we know, Lord, what was accomplished. Lord, we know what was achieved, Lord, the King of Kings. Lord, the all-glorious one. Lord, the one, Lord, we've been singing about, risen, exalted Christ. Lord, this morning we just join together and we say, he is the altogether lovely one. The pearl of great price. And Father, we just thank you this morning that you allowed Jesus to go through all that for us. Jesus, we thank you that you were prepared to be obedient to your Father's will. And we thank you for dying for us. Father, just write this word on our heart that we might consider it and meditate upon it today. Lord, that we might learn so much. Lord, that you might speak to us and reveal more concerning the cross. Lord, more concerning that sacrifice. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name.